Hey, I got something for you today because it's something that you're going to need. I don't know what's going to happen in these next few days. I really don't have a specific word from the Lord that I can give to you this morning. And this is something about hearing from God. You can't make stuff up. If the Lord speaks to you, you have something. And if he tells you to share it, you have something. But if you don't, you should just be quiet. Amen? Otherwise, the Lord gets a bad name. Somebody says something, well, I've heard the Lord say this, and it doesn't happen. Oh, my goodness. In case you haven't realized it, again, it's almost like prophetic words are all over the map these days. I mean, you can see all kinds of extremes in that. But I want to give you something this morning that is very pertinent to where we are as a people, where you and I are as individuals, and where we are as a nation. And it's an interesting concept that we don't normally think about, but here's what it is. And Emily, maybe you can, yeah. The title of this morning's message is, So How Is Your Hope? So how is your hope? Now, in this morning's message, I'm endeavoring to answer three particular questions for you and for us all. And the next screen gives us 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says, And now these three remain. And that is my first mistake, I think, it might be my first mistake of 2021. Because I don't know if it's 1 Corinthians 1:3. It's actually 1 Corinthians 13:13. So you have been here to see Pastor John Mega's first biblical mistake here this morning. Anyway, let's roll with this. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now, this particular verse is out of what's called the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about, a description of love. And we often read over this, and we miss this little word here. We miss hope. We focus on love. We know as Christians we ought to be known for our love, right? We know that of these three, the greatest of these is what? That's right. So as Christians, we definitely need to have love in our hearts for other people, regardless of their political persuasion, regardless of whether they're nice people or not so nice people. We need to love everybody because that's the way that God is. But often when we read this verse, we hear it. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. We know the importance of love. We know the importance of faith, right? Because without faith, it's impossible to what? Tell me that one more time. Without faith, it's impossible to what?
Please God.
That's right. So without faith, I don't even have a hope of being able to please God. What God wants to see out of my life and your life here in 2021 is a commitment and a rolling forward in faith, believing the promises that he's given us and walking and living out that faith. Faith is important. Amen? There's actually a chapter in Hebrews called the faith chapter, well, subtitled the faith chapter, about all the things that people have accomplished because of faith. The kingdom of God, the Bible tells us, goes forward not because of ingenuity, expertise, but it goes forward because of faith. Your ability to believe is a powerful, awesome thing. You should never minimize it and never ignore it and don't let it go dormant in your life. We all know where'd it go? there we go. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. We don't often focus on hope. What is hope anyway? What is its benefit to you? There is a benefit to having hope. And what do I do to experience it? You may feel that your hope is weak right now. You may not be sure what it is. In fact, in our culture, we kind of think hope is what I call, it's like filling out a ballot for a drawing. You ever do that? You know, you go by, maybe you're in Kroger and they're going to give away this, or let's say you're a Home Depot and they're going to give away this riding lawnmower. You go, I don't even have I don't have a big enough lawn for a riding lawnmower. But maybe you could sell it and take a vacation. So anyway, you kind of go to the table and you tear off one of those paper, can you see yourself doing it right now? And then you're looking around, you know, you're checking for a pen, you know, gee, do I have a pen? You know, fill this out. And finally, you have a pen. And what do you normally do with that piece of paper? Don't tell me you crumple up and throw it away, but you That's right. You fill out your name, first of all, before you got it right. You're a step ahead of me, Noble. You fill it out. You fill it out first, and then you put it in the box. And you know what typically you and I do when we do that? We fill it out, we put it in the box, and we turn on our heels, and we go up the aisle of Home Depot, and we go, yeah, but I probably won't win it. We typically think that hope in our culture is, well, maybe, but probably not. That's what we look at in hope. We follow our sports teams and we think, gosh, I hope they win that bowl game. Yeah, but maybe they won't. And then we're watching the game and they're falling behind and they go, well, I hope they will, but they probably are not. Some of you shed tears. Please don't raise your hands, but I'm just saying that hope in our culture is often a particular way of looking at things of maybe, just maybe an outside chance, one in 1,000 chances. That's what we often look at as hope. But that is not the hope of the Bible. The hope that is found in the Bible is an amazing thing. In fact, take me to the next screen, if you will, Emily. Hope is mentioned 97 times in the Old Testament and 83 times in the New Testament. Whoa, you didn't know it was that popular in the Bible, did you? Nearly 200, a little bit under 200. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for hope means this. It means literally a cord. It's kind of like an attachment. It's kind of like a tie down. It's kind of like something that connects you with something else. And the meaning of that connecting thing, which is a beautiful word, but the meaning of that connecting thing or that attachment is figuratively an expectation. It's an expectancy. It is something that I long for. You remember when you first dabbled in hope, when you were a little boy or a little girl, and you first heard the amazing story about Santa Claus and that somehow he would come down the chimney and you wondered how your mom and dad wouldn't fit in the chimney, or if you were like me, you didn't have a chimney in the house and you kind of wondered how's Santa going to get in here because there's no fireplace here. But somehow you were able to dismiss all that because the end game was that you were going to end up with some amazing toys and you would expect it and you would look forward to it. And maybe you had a catalog that you would thumb through the pages and you would go, oh, that's what I want. That's what I want. How many of you have seen, you know, the Christmas story where the kid wanted the Range Rover BB gun or whatever? You know that story? I don't know if you wanted a BB gun when you were young. There were a few things that I wanted. I actually used hope. It was amazing. Sometimes we think that hope is the currency of little children. That as we get older, we get disappointed a lot. And we find that sometimes our dreams don't come true. And sometimes we have a difficult time. The unexpected happens. Things that we never planned for. And often because hope, in the way that it starts out as little children, it takes some hits. And by the time we're older adults, we don't hope about much at all. We just hope to get out of this. Well, even the crazy thing about death is no one gets out of, or the crazy thing about life is no one gets out of it alive. I mean, it's like we just kind of hope for the best. You know, hey, if I give some good things, I'm great. But that's not New Testament hope or Old Testament hope. That's not biblical hope. Because biblical hope in the Old Testament talked about an attachment to something that you and I expected and had confidence in. In the New Testament, it gets developed even a little further. It means to hope for, to expect, to trust, to anticipate. And with all of that, it brings a confidence or a confident expectation. And here's the real kicker on New Testament hope. It is certain expectation. The kind of hope that the Bible talks about in the New Testament is a hope that will happen. Not maybe, not kind of like you're filling out a form and hope you win the drawing. No, it is going to happen. It's as if you were, in fact, I had a relative one time, I won't name him because he's still alive and he could try to come back. I may end this, but I had a relative, in fact, my dad and a number of relatives would go down to a coffee shop and they would, I'm probably telling you something I shouldn't tell you, but we're family, right? And they would go down to this coffee shop and solve the world's problems. You ever been a part of one of those coffee shop things where you just kind of talked about everything in the world, everything from politics to religion to all kinds of stuff? And there was amazing things that happened, not only during those meetings, but sometimes after or at the conclusion of those meetings. And I won't tell you all that. That's for another day. But I want you to know that I had a relative that came up with this thought. He says, well, look, guys, we're all here. We're here just about every day. Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday. So, hey, how about this? How about we just have a little Christmas giveaway? And everyone kind of, what do you mean, Christmas giveaway? Hey, yeah, sure. And he was adamant about it and said, yeah, we should do it. In fact, he started taking a piece of paper and ripping it up and everything and said to people, here, you know, put your name on this, and then we're going to have it in the hat, and everybody will draw a name out, and, you know, you'll have somebody that you can get a gift for. Well, what they didn't know was that this relative had already ripped up a piece of paper into small pieces of paper and put his own name on all the papers. That's right. So that when everyone was filling it out, he had all those in his pocket. And so he collected all of the papers and just changed pockets and put all his names on the paper in the pockets. I come from you can say you can choose your friends, but God gives you relatives. Well, I have some really interesting relatives. And so anyway, when the day came shortly before Christmas that everyone was supposed to give gifts, it only took about two or three people, and they realized that they'd all been had. But you see, New Testament hope is kind of like that. Not that you're trying to trick somebody, but it's like you win every time. New Testament hope is a certain expectation, not a maybe, not a hope, hey, maybe, kind of, wow, wouldn't it be great if it worked out? No, New Testament hope is a certainty for you. That's what the Bible talks about hope. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 13:13 it says, and now abide us these three things, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of things of these is love. Greatest is love. But I'm telling you, faith and hope aren't bad either. We just sometimes don't understand how hope works. What's the benefit of hope? Here's what it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. And this is why you and I are going to need this in the coming days. 1 Thessalonians, as Paul writes his letter to the Thessalonian Christians, he says this, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. This is just, I could have maybe preached this verse alone this morning. Because your work or your efforts produced by faith, real faith produces real works. Okay? And it goes on to say, your labor prompted by love. And it's interesting, I've got to tell you this, word labor, it's not just you're working, it's like you're working and it's hard. And get this, it can even be painful. And so what Paul is telling these Thessalonian Christians, he says, I remember the pain that you went through and the suffering that you went through, some of which was to help other people. And that pain was actually prompted by your great love for God and your great love for people. May God say about us here as Messiah Christian Church that we love people in spite of sometimes it being painful. Has it ever been painful for you to love somebody? Have you ever had to go through things as you love people that you've suffered? Well, Paul was saying to the Thessalonian Christians, I am just absolutely totally impressed with the way that you love and how well you love, even though it costs you things, even though it hurts sometimes. And then he says this, your endurance inspired by what? Ooh, there it is, folks. Your endurance inspired or actually created by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Greek text here is the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this hope actually comes from Jesus. Endurance means cheerful or hopeful endurance, constancy, enduring, patient, even though things are not going your way, even though things are looking like they're going to turn out to go against you. New Testament hope is the kind of hope that has endurance to it. And so it's endurance inspired or produced or created by the Lord Jesus' hope. It's waiting. I want to talk to you. Some of you here this morning are in God's waiting room, and it is not comfortable. You've heard the promises. You've been in prayer, and you've sensed that God says, hey, I'm going to do this for you, and you've waited. And you've waited, and you've waited, and you've waited. And you've wondered if God has forgotten. And you've wondered if God is busy with someone else. And you've wondered, well, God, What about me? What about this situation? I'm talking to someone here this morning. Because what can happen as you're waiting is you can lose hope if you're not careful. And God does not want you to lose hope. You might be waiting for a family member to come to know Jesus. You might be waiting for God to open a door. You could be waiting for God. Maybe you're in a situation where you're battling illness. And you're saying, God, if you don't change this, you're needing something from the Lord. Endurance and being cheerful about it. You know, when we're in God's waiting room, sometimes it's not cheerful. You don't feel cheerful. You don't feel happy. Oh, gosh, I'm so happy. Here I am, suffering. Here I am, dealing with this stuff. I'm not happy. I'm honest. I'm not happy. But New Testament hope, the kind that comes from Jesus, can actually take you in a circumstance or situation like that and flip it, flip the script, to where suddenly, because of New Testament hope, you are happy even though you're in God's waiting room. You ever seen people lose it in the waiting room? You know, like maybe you're in the waiting room with the doctor. You know, a lot of times you got to wait in your car, I guess. you don't normally sit in the waiting room for years and years. It seems like years and years. But you're waiting, and sometimes people, again, just get really almost hangry. Anyway, it's waiting behind, waiting, as if God has gone ahead and you're waiting for him to come back to help you. It's produced by the expectation of Jesus and the hope that he exhibited. It's the Lord's hope. Maybe your hope is gone. Today, maybe you gave up your hope a long time ago. The good news that I have for you as your pastor today is this. Your hope might not have been the greatest thing anyway. Why not exchange it for God's hope? Why not let God come into your heart and life and give you his hope? Because this is what this actually says. Paul was impressed with the Thessalonians' endurance because of the hope, and it was actually of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there were two things. They had a hope that was produced by Jesus, and they also had hope because they watched his life. Jesus knew that he was going to the cross. Jesus knew he had suffering ahead of him. Jesus knew it was going to be an excruciating experience. And yet, the Bible says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. He's amazing. As you focus on Jesus, you find that he can give you hope. Hope produces endurance. Folks, we are in the midst right now of a falling away of Christians from church in America. George Barna and his analytics business has discovered that since the coronavirus hit America, between 30 to 32% of all Christians that were attending church previously are not attending anymore. And get this, you might say, well, oh, they're all at home watching Christian television or online services. They actually explored that and found out they're not. That's probably the biggest news in the kingdom of heaven over the last 12 months, that the church in America has lost between 30 and 32% of its attendees. Now, do we think, well, those people aren't Christians anyway? No, I don't know. You and I don't know that. But we do know this. There is a falling away starting, and that's why you need endurance. And what produces endurance? That's right. The New Testament, God-produced hope, actually produces endurance in you. And that's why you're going to need it. I don't know what's going to happen this week. I don't know what's going to happen with this election in Georgia. I don't know if the Supreme Court is going to be packed full of justices. I don't know if the things that prevent people from coming into America, criminals, they're not all criminals. By the way, my ancestors came to America. They weren't criminals. What's that? That's right. My wife is actually Canadian. Last time I checked, you weren't a criminal, so that's good. I'm just saying that I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you do, but I don't know. But I do know this. Regardless of what happens, I'm going to need a supernatural endurance to handle the things of the future. And the best way I can get that is not by gritting my teeth and saying, I'm going to do this. No, it's receiving the hope that comes from God. Let's look at the next one here. Next screen. It's not listed as a spiritual gift. You can't find the gift of hope. It's not there. It's not in the Bible. It's not a talent. So it's not something you can practice and get better at. Okay? It's not a personality trait. Oh, they're just, it comes easy to them. No, it's not a personality trait either. It's not gained by getting older. I tried. Didn't work. Some things happen as you get older that are good. But hope is not one of them. So how do I get it? Real quickly, here we go. Romans 5:15-13. May the God of hope, I like that. God's actually called the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with what? Okay, how is hope produced then in you and I? It's produced by kind of one of the ways it's produced. There's more than one way, believe it or not. We're going to show you that in a moment. But it's produced as a result, number one, of God giving me joy and me trusting him for it. Okay? In other words, I come to the Lord and I say, Lord, you got joy. I need joy. Joy in the heavenly sense or in the biblical sense is not based on circumstances. You don't have to wait to win Publishers Clearinghouse to have joy. You don't have to wait for your coronavirus check to land in your bank account to be joyful. You can actually be joyful regardless of the circumstances if you're dealing in heaven's joy. So you got to trust the Lord or have faith in the Lord to produce that within you. And as that is produced in you and as peace comes to you as a result of trusting him, you know, situations that you're dealing with right now, you say, God, I don't know how in the world that's going to work out, but I'm going to trust you in it. I'm going to believe that you're going to help me in this. And I'm going to just put my faith and my trust in you. As you do that, trusting in the Lord for his joy and his peace, there comes what? An overflow of what? There it is. An overflow of hope. Certain expectation begins to grow within me. And it is produced by the power of who? The Holy Spirit within you. Often we are focused on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Does a person speak in tongues? Do they prophesy? Do they have gifts of healings? Do you know the fruit of the Holy Spirit is for every single Christian? And that fruit of the Holy Spirit, there's a fruit of peace and the fruit of joy that God wants to produce in you. And if you will allow that to be active in your heart and life, it will naturally produce supernatural hope by the power of the Holy Spirit within you. So the question is, can I trust Jesus to fill me with joy? Ask yourself that question. Can I trust Jesus to fill me with peace? And what would prevent this in my life? One of the biggest preventing items in my life of joy and peace is sin. That's why if you and I aren't ruthless with sin in our lives, we are only fooling ourselves. And we eagerly spot sin in other people's lives. That'd probably be a good place to say amen, but I don't want to say amen on this one, but we do. We can spot what's wrong in someone else's life a whole lot faster than what's wrong in our life. And then when someone raises up the courage enough to tell us of a sin or something that's wrong in our life, we actually cut them down before they can deliver the message. Oh, I'm sorry, that doesn't happen here in Virginia. I know that happens in the other states because I've lived in some of the other states, but I'm just teasing you. It happens, doesn't it? It does. So I need to get brutally honest with sin in my life and not be so quick to spot it in other people's lives, but be real quick to spot it in my life. And if I can develop that capacity, I'm going to have a whole lot more joy and a whole lot more peace, because anytime I entertain sin in my life, it short circuits the fruit of the Holy Spirit that God wants to produce in me. Now, some of us don't even listen to that. Right now, it's gone in one ear and out the other to some of us. But I just have you to know that all of us are responsible for the word as it's preached to us. And it's something we ought to take really, really serious. In our culture, we kind of wink. Someone sins, that's okay, we all sin. None of us is perfect. But show me a man or woman who's brutally honest and radical with the sin in their own life, and I'll show you someone who's on the right path. You want to have an amazing 2021? Just get serious with your sin and get rid of it. Next one. Romans 5. This is an amazing way that hope also comes to us. Not only so, but we also glory in our what? Sufferings. Oh, Pastor John, don't tell me about that. I have suffering Monday through Saturday. I don't want to hear about this on Sunday. No, stay with me on this, will you? Because we know that suffering produces what? Perseverance. The ability to keep on going, though the going gets tough. Suffering produces that in me? Yeah, it does. Suffering, it produces perseverance. And perseverance produces what? Character. Somebody say, well, I've had enough character training. I got about all the character that I can stand because the rest of it's killing me. Well, suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, being able to continue to move through and go through, will actually produce character within me. And character produces what? Ooh. It's a process, folks. Sometimes hope is produced in us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes hope is produced in us through suffering, through persevering through difficult times, through the character that comes from staying with something even though it costs us something. That produces hope in us. And hope produces the endurance to manage to get through incredibly excruciating difficult times. It's a process. Maybe I'm in the process where God is granting me New Testament hope and I don't even know it. Maybe I've come to God and say, God, why haven't you changed my circumstances? Why haven't you answered my prayers? And maybe heaven this morning is going to say to you, it's because I've got you in the process. Trust the process. I will answer your prayers, but I will also give you hope to handle the coming days and things you have been called to. I want you to think about something real seriously this morning. We have had it so good, so unbelievably good in this land. When you compare us to other Christians who have lived in other countries at other times and other years, we have had it incredibly good. And if that changes, and it could, if that changes, I don't want to scare you, but if that changes, it'll teach us to appreciate the good times. But some of us will have to go through some stuff. In fact, some of you may be designed for the revival that will come to America. And what we normally haven't thought about is this. The revival that comes to America that sweeps hundreds of thousands of people into his kingdom may come during a time of what's called a multi-pandemic. It's the first time you've heard that, haven't you? That means the pandemic that we've gone through may be just the beginning of stuff. It could come during incredible political upheaval. It could come during a time of great violence. It could come during a time of great deception. But did you know that you have been designed for the days in which you live in? And maybe God, when you've looked at other people and you said, well, he's blessed so-and-so so much, he's blessed so-and-so so much, what about me? Maybe I'm just kind of the distant cousin. Maybe God only loves me half of what he loves everybody else because I've seemed to have gone through all kinds of stuff. Maybe, just maybe, you have been in a process so that when your moment comes, you will not fail because you will have not only perseverance and not only character, but you will have and be a carrier of hope. I'm just saying, it's something you need to think about. Look at the next and final one here this morning. Romans 15:4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have what? Hope. Seeing and experiencing the encouragement that is found in the Bible will produce hope in me. So the question I need to ask is, am I giving God something to work with here? You know, when you and I take time to read the Bible, I'm not talking about reading it just so that we can knock off so many chapters and so many books. Read it to grow. Read it to learn. Read it to connect with God. Read it till you see yourself in the pages. As you read that, God says he will actually produce an encouragement that provides us with hope. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. God's not going to force me to read. In fact, I'm not into visiting you in your house and asking you, are you reading the Bible? No. But you got to do it, because within it is an ability for you to get supernatural hope that will help you to endure in these difficult times that are just ahead of us. I believe this is the word of the Lord for us today. There is a hope that comes, produced by the Holy Spirit, as we, in faith, trust God for joy and peace in our lives. There is a hope that comes as a result of a process through actually, believe it or not, going through suffering and persevering through that, and then having character built in our life which produces that kind of hope. And then there is a hope that comes just by simply reading the Bible. All of these things God would have you to excel in. And no matter what happens, folks, you and I don't have to be running around scared. Oh gosh, what's going to happen? Is Richmond going to blow up? Is there going to be a tidal wave? Are we going to have enough food? Folks, if you got New Testament hope going on in your life, you're going to get through all this stuff, no matter what is thrown at you. And that is a secret of how 2021 can be one of the most incredible years for you, if you will allow the Lord himself to produce hope within you.